Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. And right now, welcome in an NBA coach. Just wrapped up his second season in Atlanta. And that's the head coach of the Hawks in Lloyd Pierce on CBS Sports Radio. Coach, thanks for the time. How you been?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Thanks for coming on. So, unfortunately, your team wasn't a part of the restart of the season in Orlando. You know, just having this offseason time now, have you been watching any of the action inside the bubble?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's unfortunate that we're not there, but it is what it is. It's happened, and I think more importantly, the league has been able to create an unbelievable environment for the 22 teams that are there. It's been great to watch basketball and see the guys competing at a high level, and it's just been it's been intriguing to see. I think they've done a tremendous job. I think the players have been extremely disciplined and also showing competitiveness on the court.
Last time we saw your team on the court, it was up against the Knicks, and obviously no one knew what was coming that night, and our lives instantly changed and got flipped upside down. When you reflect on the last few months with all going on in the world with the coronavirus and then also the fight against social injustice, how do you put the last few months in perspective since March?
You know, it's a tough question. It's so hard to put things in perspective when you're still dealing with it. And right now we're still, you know, navigating through the days of, you know, what else can we do? You know, how much more can I be educated about not only the virus, but the racial inequalities that go on in our country? And then how do we prepare for November with huge election that's coming up that affects so many different things. So the reflection part, I haven't done too much of. I'm really in the strategizing and plotting and planning, and really just trying to navigate through so many different situations right now. In addition to, you know, trying to help our guys, you know, we're still trying to get our guys in the gym and create an atmosphere where they can still get better with the individual work. So there's a lot going on, and I'm not really worried about what hasn't happened, just really trying to focus on what we can affect in so many different areas.
Obviously, you have a big platform being one of 30 coaches in the NBA. Have you really started to understand even more the significance of your platform, especially since all that we've seen since March?
Well, I think that the biggest thing that we all can acknowledge as athletes, as coaches, as a professional league, is our access and our reach. And I think that's the greatest value that we have when, you know, a lot of change occurs because of the strength in numbers, and we have an opportunity to really engage a large crowd of people and really rally behind certain movements, organizations, legislative items, things that can really create change in our society. So I've felt the opportunity. I have the opportunity and have used that opportunity to connect with a lot of educators, to connect with a lot of organizations, both locally and nationally, that are really in the fight for creating social and racial justice in our country, and trying to figure out where I can help, who I can connect those organizations and those people with, so that that fight increases and gets stronger because of our voice rallying and connecting together.
We're talking to the head coach of Atlanta Hawks, Lloyd Pierce, here with us on the Zach Yelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we look at your team from this past season, Coach, it all starts with Trae Young. He's the face of your franchise, has had two sensational years in the association. How do you look back on this past season for Trae and how he did grow from his rookie year, and what are the things that now you want to challenge him to do even more heading into year number three?
Well, I think he's really separated himself from a lot of the second-year players. And so instantly we have a guy that's advanced and excelled fairly quickly. And what it does is it gives us a nice little cornerstone of someone that we can build with, we can grow around. And, you know, we're solid at the point guard. We're solid offensively. We're solid with our ability to score. We're solid with our ability to play and be difficult to guard. And you add in John Collins, and you add in Kevin Herter, and you add in Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter. And can't wait to get Clint Capella with that group. But I feel very confident in our group. I feel confident in the fact that they were able to play extremely well together. We didn't have an extreme amount of opportunity with that group together, but the opportunity they had is really encouraging to see. So moving forward, obviously we need basketball. We need to play basketball, but I think we have a great group of guys that are all, you know, at the early stages of their career and definitely going to get better.
There's so much excitement with all the young players that you mentioned in these unknown times. How do you try to keep your guys focused on task right now with not knowing the next time you may be able to have a practice, or not knowing what next season's going to look like? How do you keep the ball moving in the right direction?
Well, it's just staying connected. You know, in addition to the stuff we talked about early in the show that's going on off the court, you know, it's an opportunity for us to really stay connected, to have tough conversations, to have educational conversations, to really stay connected with the things off the court. But we're also getting in. Our guys have done a tremendous job in the last 3 months, two or three months, where the NBA has allowed us to come in and do individual work. And so we've done a great job in just providing our practice facility and taking advantage of the 45 minutes on the court, 45 minutes in the weight room, two coaches to each player, and really just taking it step by step with skill development, getting a lot of shots up, taking care of their bodies. And I can't be, you know, more proud of the guys for their commitment to doing that.
Talking to Lloyd Pierce, the head coach of the Hawks, when we get to next season and we got to see what happens in the world, we've heard ideas about maybe getting the teams that didn't make the restart in Chicago in a bubble atmosphere. We had Michelle Roberts on this show last week talking about the possibility of playing all of next season in a bubble like what we're seeing right now down in Orlando. What's your thoughts on that Chicago idea that was floated around, and then the possibility of maybe playing all of next season in a bubble?
You know, I'm not going to speculate on any of that. I think it's really, you know, whatever we get during this downtime, we're going to try and take advantage of. Our guys obviously would love to play, would love to compete, but there's obviously a lot of concerns as to why that can or can't happen. And so whatever we're given an opportunity to do, we'll take advantage of. We're hopeful the season starts in a very, very normal way, whatever normal will be as we come out of this next season. And so until that comes, we're just going to take care of what we can right now, which is staying connected with our guys, being disciplined and doing what we can on an individual basis in our practice facility, and really just trying to provide a positive environment for a bunch of young guys that are still trying to get better. And we'll worry about next season when we get an opportunity. And hopefully we get that opportunity to do so in a fairly normal way with our fans and everything included.
What's the next step for your team in your mind, and also for you as a coach entering year three as the Hawks head coach?
Well, it's always about getting better. You know, as you mentioned with Trae had a tremendous second year. As an all-star starter and reserve, John averaged 20, 21, and 10 And we had all those other guys. We had three other guys, DeAndre, Kevin, and Cam, all averaging double figures. And so it's just, we have to get better. We have to continually get better. We have to make strides. We want each guy to do it individually. But I think our major next step is for us to do it collectively. In addition to Trey being an all-star, we also want to be a team that's competing when it comes to the end of the regular season. And we want to be in that conversation as the most improved team. We want to be in that conversation of making the biggest leap from year to year. And that's going to require us to do it collectively and not just one individual. But we want to see Trey back an all-star. We want to add a couple other all-stars. We want to see a couple guys on that rookie sophomore game. And that just shows that each guy has done their part in getting better, and we're able to do it collectively. So that's our real next step.
Lloyd Pierce, you're a basketball lifer. To be around someone for the last 2 years like Vince Carter, what's your biggest takeaway having Vince in the locker room?
Well, I think you're just impressed to see any player play any sport for 22 years. You know, Vince is a humble, extremely humble Hall of Famer, and he will be a Hall of Famer. He deserves to be a Hall of Famer. He has all the accolades, but the greatest thing about him is his humility. You know, he has a presence in the locker room, but he never took advantage of his presence or his credibility. He wanted to be a team player. He wanted to be a coachable player, and he wanted an opportunity to compete. And I really respected that the most in his 2 years with us here in Atlanta.
Obviously, it wasn't the ideal way for his career to end, with the league having to shut down because of the pandemic, but in that Knicks game, to get him back in and for him to hit that three-point shot, what did you feel on the sideline when you got to see that sequence go down?
I'm just glad the fans were yelling at me to get him back out there, because I didn't have a clue. Obviously, we knew the season was coming to an end. There were some hints about it when we got in the locker room at halftime. But we had crawled back to create an overtime game, and New York just got away from us in overtime. So I was still in that competitive mode, and you see the game getting away. I think it's 19 seconds. So I'm just thankful for our fans of really being engaged and understanding the moment. And we were able to get Vince back out there, and Trey did a good job of just getting him the basketball in one of our sets. And obviously New York, they knew the moment as well. They didn't try and defend it. And Vince did what he always does. You know, he stepped up and made a clutch three, and that's the way his career has ended.
Wrapping up with Lloyd Pierce, the third year now head coach of the Atlanta Hawks, just wrapped up year number two. I saw the other day that the National Basketball Coaches Association, the votes came out for Coach of the Year. You had two winners, co-winners, and Mike Budenholzer of the Bucks and Billy Donovan of the Oklahoma City Thunder. What did you think of that selection? Do you think your fellow peers in the NBA on the sidelines got it right with Budenholzer and Donovan?
Well, I don't think you could have gotten it wrong. I think there's so many coaches that have done a tremendous job. I think Eric Spoelstra has done a great job. Obviously, Nick Nurse has done a tremendous job. I think Doc Rivers, you know, people think those jobs are easy because you get a lot of stars, but when you're trying to put it together instantly, just as Frank Vogel did with the Lakers and Doc has done in L.A., you know, you couldn't have gotten it wrong. So I think Billy's done a tremendous job. I think Bud has done a tremendous job, but I don't think you could have gotten it wrong. And I think the coaches, as you saw, you know, one vote away from it being a three-way tie, just shows how difficult a decision that was in voting for the coaches. But it also speaks to the tremendous job that a lot of coaches have done this year.
Yeah, and if I was voting, and obviously I wasn't because I'm not an NBA coach, that's not breaking news, I would have gone with Nick Nurse. But really, you look at Nurse and Donovan to see what they've lost going into this year, with no more Paul George, no more Russell Westbrook, obviously for the Raptors losing Kawhi Leonard, what they were able to do this year, those two coaches specifically, especially Nick Nurse. And I'm still amazed because, you know, I know a lot of times you have a star player, the coach doesn't get that much credit. Nurse, what he's been able to do this year, I think it's actually more impressive than winning a championship last year, and that's really saying something.
Yeah, and, you know, and same goes for Bud. I think people, you know, you expectations – people think the job becomes easier when you have expectations placed upon you. You know, for him to come back, really struggle in the playoffs, but had a tremendous year last year, to come back and still remain the number one seed in the East, and in a lot of ways get better. You know, it's a tremendous amount of credit to him. So, you know, it's not an easy task, coaching depending on your team and your situation. So that's why I think it was such a difficult decision this year.
You were around Ben Simmons in Philadelphia. I look at Ben. He's a very good player in this league, but he's still working on developing that jump shot. I've been in the Wells Fargo Center many times before games, seeing him put in the work, and also at practices in Camden. Is it just the confidence issue when, you know, with your time with Ben on why that shot hasn't really been displayed on the court yet?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of things, and I think when people really respect the sport, they understand how tremendous these guys are at their craft. You know, Ben's been a tremendous player, but that hasn't been his strength. And obviously it's when you're at any point, when you now have to create a new part of your game, it's not just going to happen overnight. I think people want it to happen overnight, and they want him to just start jacking up threes. And then when he starts shooting them, they want them to all go in. But he's still been a two-time All-Star without, you know, one of those areas being where he wants it to be. And so I think in time he's going to be fine. It's just going to take some time. You know, there's a lot of other guys that are still developing parts of their games. Great offensive players need to become better defenders. Some big guys need to become better finishers around the basket. It's just part of the sport. You know, his just happens to be shooting, and everyone puts a big picture on it. Yeah, confidence ties into it, but I think really focusing on the development and knowing that it's going to happen over time, it's just going to add to his game. And I think he's going to be a scary player when it does happen.
And I imagine people try to figure out how they're going to fix the Sixers. You hear some people suggest maybe you split up the duo of Ben and Joel, and I think that's comical. I would imagine you would laugh at that as well, being around those two.
Yeah, I think that's just the nature of sport. You know, it's barbershop talk. You know, there's one winner at the end of every year, and then every other team is criticized on something or someone. So I think Philly's in a great position. I look forward to seeing them play in the playoffs. I think they're going to be one of the tougher outs, as they were last year with Kawhi making a really tough shot in Game 7. And depending on how the ball bounces, we could be looking at a different champion or a different contender and having a different perspective about that team. So I don't think Philly's really too worried about that. I think they're really focused on what they can do in this year's playoffs.
Last one for you, Coach. Just going back through your career, you played college ball with Steve Nash, and then in the NBA for a few years, you were on that Cavs staff working with LeBron James. When you look at those two players, and we talked about Vince earlier, you know, what do you take from playing with Steve in college at Santa Clara and then also getting to coach a younger version of LeBron James?
Yeah, I think, you know, anytime you get to coach a player of greatness, you get better. And I obviously got better coaching in Cleveland, being around him for the 3 years that I was there. It's just a testament to what makes certain people great. And you see the work ethic, you see the daily commitment, you see the passion, you see the loyalty. And that's really what I really got out of it. I thought it was a tremendous experience for me as a coach to be up close and personal. Same thing goes for Nash, playing with him for 2 years at Santa Clara, and just as close as we've become since then, you just realize that the greatness is not by coincidence. He's dedicated to his craft. He's dedicated to his friendships and connections with people. And he displays that same commitment on the court. He's always been a selfless player. He's always been a guy that can make others better, and he's the same way off the court as he is on the court.
Coach, really appreciate you doing this. You and your family, be safe and be well. We'll talk to you down the road. Thanks so much.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
There's Lloyd Pierce. It's the Zach Yelp Show, CBS Sports Radio, coming on back after these short messages.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
TJ Warren's really on a new level right now. He may never want to leave Orlando. He may never want to leave the bubble. 53 points on August 1st up against the Sixers. Fouled it up with 34 against the Wizards last night. Tonight, in 20 minutes up against the Orlando Magic, he has 21 points. So we'll end up seeing what he finishes with tonight. That game just got underway in the third quarter, about to get underway. 71-50, Pacers up big on the Orlando Magic. You got another game currently going on right now. That is the Miami Heat without Jimmy Butler. Heat up on the Celtics in the second quarter with 7:20 to play, 45-36. No Jimmy Butler. He's out tonight with an ankle injury. And you're not really seeing anyone drastically step up so far for Miami. They're just doing a nice job balancing out the scoring. Olynyk with 5, Bam Adebayo with 4, Crowder has 8, Nunn has 4, Robinson has 6, Dragic off the bench has 7, Hero has 9. So you see, obviously, it's early still. But they're doing a nice job with balance. And then for the Celtics, Tatum has 10, Hayward has 4, Kemba Walker with 0, and Jaylen Brown with 6 points. So we'll keep you up to date on those two games. Once again, currently ongoing, Indiana up big on Orlando, and then the Heat without Jimmy Butler up 45-36 with about 7 minutes to go in this second quarter. And tonight, you got one more game. You got Houston and Portland. Expect a lot of points in that game. We'll do a little big bet on that later on in the show. Let me get to two other reactions as well, and appreciate Lloyd Pierce for jumping on board with us in the last segment. I want to get to the whole topic of conversation of managing minutes in the bubble. For Zion Williamson, we finally saw Zion sort of get unleashed last night, where he did play 25 minutes up against the Memphis Grizzlies. Remember, he missed about 7 or 8 days and then had to quarantine for about 4 days when he had to leave the bubble because of a family emergency. David Griffin, he came out after the game against the Jazz on that Thursday of the NBA restart and said, don't expect him to go up significant minutes anytime soon. Against the Clippers, a game they were never really in, he only plays 14 minutes. I'm not going to complain there. The game, though, that I did complain was the Jazz, because they pulled him with 7 and change to go in that fourth quarter. And when that game was close, right down to the wire, remember, Ingram missed that shot from 3 that could have won it. Zion Williamson sitting on the bench, and I'm not asking you to go 30 minutes, 35, play all the time with 40 minutes. All I'm asking for Zion Williamson is that if you want to manage his minutes, you know, be flexible with it. And the first two games against the Jazz and the Clippers, they were not flexible. Last night against Memphis, where he did play 25 minutes, they were flexible with the minutes restriction, and I guess they did increase the amount of minutes he was allowed to play. But I remember that sequence last night, and we were talking about it on the air a little bit, where Mikey B was texting me, and he saw him leave the game, Zion Williamson, late. And you're thinking, all right, he's probably not going to return, but he did return last night. I want to say it was somewhere around the 4-minute mark, somewhere in that range. So it was nice to see Zion Williamson, who he did leave with about 6 minutes to go in the fourth, actually come back and play down the stretch. And that's what the Pelicans have to do. They have to keep on increasing his minutes. And I don't think up against the Jazz that they should have kept him on the bench for the entire 7 minutes down the stretch. But, hey, that's already going back to the 30th day of July. And now we're sitting here on the 4th day of August. And you see the news today, the big news of the NBA with Jaren Jackson going down with that torn meniscus. This is opening up the door even more so for this chase to the 8th seed Suns, like we said, off to that 3-0 start inside the bubble with the Devin Booker game winner today. But when you're the Pelicans, you have the easiest schedule remaining. You have no room, though, to drop a game, and you did drop the first two games when you did resume. Now it's all go time, and you have to have a full commitment to getting to the postseason, or at least putting yourself in that position where you can be the 8th seed. And probably the way that's going to come, we still have in Portland in your way as well, and we'll see what happens with Memphis. You expect Memphis to fall off without Jaren Jackson now, is you're probably going to have to win out or maybe at most lose a game. Because right now, if you are the Pelicans, you got 5 games left. You already played 3. You only get 8. You got Sacramento twice. You got Washington, San Antonio, and Orlando. None of those teams make you shake in your boots And if you're a Pelicans fan and you end up not getting in the postseason, you're going to look back. The Clippers game, it is what it is. We all know how good of a team they are now. The Suns did defeat them today. With that being said, though, if they don't make the postseason and it comes down to one game, people will look back at that Utah game and they will continue to question why Zion Williamson couldn't go for 16, 17, 18 minutes that night when you only played him 15. And each team is going to handle this bubble a different way. When you are a team that is trying to make the postseason, what's the point of showing up if you're not going to go full go with the player as close to full go as you can? And that for Zion was going 25 minutes last night. So it was appreciative after seeing how they handled it the first two games in Orlando. And you go around the rest of the league, each team's going to handle this differently. Like for the Raptors, if they want to manage the minutes of Siakam, they could go on out there. It's the minutes of Siakam. For the Celtics, if they need to manage minutes with Kemba Walker because of injuries, then you manage the minutes of a Kemba Walker, because what does your seeding really mean? You're probably going to be the third seed when you look at the Eastern Conference. And in the West, we know the Lakers have already locked up the one seed, so how they'll handle their minutes the rest of the way will be compelling. I expect when you look at the Lakers, they're probably going to play their guys a little bit extra because you want to develop a little bit more chemistry. Lakers have looked a little bit rusty at times, and still they've been able to win two out of three games. But there's a lot of teams here that you don't have to go full go on your guys, because what does it mean when you look at 3 through 6 or 3 through 7 in the Western Conference when you got the Nuggets, the Rockets, the Jazz, the Thunder, and the Mavericks? Yes, there may be a matchup that you prefer, but it's not as if you're the Rockets, and I know they're off to a hot start, let's say if they fall off a little bit, if the Rockets end up being the 6 or if they end up being the 5 instead of the 4, in other years you would go, ooh, that's not good. You want it to be the 4th seed. You want it to have the home court advantage. But if you're the 5 or the 6 seed this year, there's no road environment. So with when we look at that, you know, teams like the Trailblazers, team like the Pelicans, the Spurs, the Suns and the Kings, they don't have wiggle room here because they're trying to get into the dance. The teams that are already into the dance, they do have wiggle room. And don't get me wrong, if you're a team like the Mavericks, maybe the seeding does mean something a little extra to you because you don't want to be that 7th seed. And that's the one spot in the West, to be fair. When you go 3 through 7, it's really that 7th spot you want to avoid, because you don't want to see the Clippers in the first round. So their seeding can mean something. But when you're looking 3, 4, 5, and 6, it does not mean much if the Mavericks aren't able to pass the Thunder. It does not mean much then for the Thunder, the Jazz, the Rockets, and the Nuggets, where they do match up in that order. And in the East, yeah, you want to avoid 7 and 8, but that's already going to be done for you. You know, that's already it. Because you see the difference between the Sixers and the Magic. The Magic, they can't get to 6. So it's the same thing in the East, where it looks like the Raptors are going to be the 2. Does it matter for the Celtics if you play the Heat, the Pacers, or the Sixers? Does it matter for the Heat if you play the Celtics, the Pacers, or the Sixers? Does it matter for the Pacers if you play the Heat, the Celtics, or the Sixers? And does it matter for the Sixers if you play the three teams in front of you right now, the Pacers, the Heat, or the Celtics? No, it doesn't. So there's ways that you could manage minutes. There are ways that you could resume play. And yes, I get for the Pelicans, the reward is to just get the 8th seed, and then you're probably going to get quickly either swept or losing 5 to the Pelicans, but you should go for it. Now, we're in a pandemic. What's the point of going to a bubble and going through all of these risks that you're putting your team in front of to only play Zion Williamson in the first two games 30-something minutes? Keep on going 25. Can he get up to 30 in the next game? But you have a chance to make the postseason here. And you wasted that first game. The second game will give you a pass. At least you started to be committed to it in the third game last night. Now you look at this remaining schedule. You got 5 games left. You should be able to, at a bare minimum, get 4 out of those 5 games. So that puts you at 33 wins if you get 4 out of those 5. If you end up taking all 5, it gets you up to 34. And we currently see that the 8th seed have 32 with the Grizzlies and the 9th seed have 30 with the Portland Trail Blazers. But the Grizzlies have a massive blow that they just got dealt, and that's because now they're going to be without Jaren Jackson Jr. All right, let me get to managing the minutes, and this I'll give you a perfect example on how a team in the East did that today and it didn't matter. Now, they should have won the game. It's kind of embarrassing that they lost the game. You did see, though, today, the Milwaukee Bucks, who were, what, an 18.5, 19-point favorite, they lost to the Brooklyn Nets, 119 to 116. Billy Jacalone, you are even a huge Brooklyn Nets fan. There's probably some guys, when you tune into the Brooklyn Nets and watch a play, that you're going, oh, that guy's on the roster, right?
Oh, yeah,
at this point. It's crazy. You got Thomas, you got Kurucs, you got Garrett Temple,
Dante
Johnson.
Hall.
Yeah, oh, well, we'll get to him in just a second. And you got Timothy Luwawu-Cabarro, who I actually met a few times when I was in Philadelphia. But how about Dante Hall? Not the former Chief and Ram. We're talking about Dante Hall, the basketball player. Played 21 minutes today, 9 rebounds, 4 points. His biggest contribution to the game, though, was throwing Giannis Antetokounmpo right behind the baseline. And Giannis got up, and it's a traditional NBA fight. Oh, you just shoved me. I'm upset. I'm going to charge at you. None of his teammates even got in the way. It was a referee and a Brooklyn Nets player. You pick as to who was the Nets player that was holding him back, but they held Giannis Antetokounmpo back, and that was it. That's the classic. Even when there's really no one in front of you, it's the hold me back, bro, when you're trying to get in an altercation inside the NBA bubble or even when you're outside of it in pretty much any regular season game. But a team like, for example, the Bucks, this game meant nothing to them today. Yeah, they should have won the game, but they lost. It's not the end of the world. I know because they're the top seed in the East, and just like the Lakers, so they're the top seed as well. Whenever they lose, people are going to question them. And for Milwaukee, they beat Boston in the bubble. Wasn't a clean game. They lose to the Rockets. They lose to the Nets. So now you have some people question them. And even before the shutdown, they were, what, they lost, I think, 3 games in a row. And they lost 4 out of their last 5 before the shutdown. So now people are going to question them. I'm not going to question them. Who's the team in the Eastern Conference that's going to beat them? Now, could it be Toronto? Could it be the Celtics? I guess those are the 2 teams you start. If Warren keeps on playing this way for the Pacers, wouldn't that be something? But I don't expect them to take down the Bucks. They're a gritty team. They'll be a tough out. Heat, gritty team. They'll be a tough out. Sixers, no trust. When you see a team like Milwaukee, though, if you get a feel in a game, all right, it's time to take your star players out, they did that. Now, you could criticize Budenholzer and say, why do you need rest? These players have been off since mid-March. That's fine, but he knows his team best. Now, he was coach of the year last year, won the award this year voted on by the coaches. That named coach of the year, not the award voted on the media, which should go to Nick Nurse. When I see a team like Milwaukee, though, they fell today, all right? You only play Giannis the first half. You play Chris Middleton the first half. And by the way, here is something interesting. I saw this, and I was on the wrong side of history here, because I did put down, I think it was like 15 or 20 bucks on the Bucks to cover the 18.5, and usually I wouldn't touch that large of a number. That is the largest NBA upset in terms of a point spread where a team wins the game outright, not just covers the spread, since 1993. The Nets finished, it was at plus 19. They end up winning the game by 3 points. So congratulations to Brooklyn. Where Brooklyn at? But yeah. Milwaukee will get the last laugh. They'll be going to the finals. It's Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, we'll talk about 2 major pains in the you-know-what, and they're in the news.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
15 to the top of the hour. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, as always, is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by our good friends at GEICO. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. All right. Let me get to two people that are constantly in the news. And I don't really care for them anymore, but we still have to talk about them because still anytime something is said about them, even though I don't have great confidence in them moving forward, it always does spark and resonate with the listening audience. So when we get to Antonio Brown, you know, if you listen to this show, I'm not a big fan of Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown may be a fan of us. He's actually listened to the show before and has tweeted about us recently. But when I look at Mr. Big Chess, when you consistently get disappointed by someone, it's tough to keep on going back to that well and expecting that you're not going to get disappointed anymore. And that's what it's been with Antonio Brown. We've seen a massive, an enormous, a major fall from grace with AB, where he was the no doubt about it preeminent wide receiver in the sport, and he's acted like a complete jerk ever since. Where you see how the ending did transpire in Pittsburgh, then his career barely even got started in Oakland, and then in New England, they gave him a new start, and he couldn't stop texting one of his accusers. So for Antonio Brown, you've seen someone that is so talented, but you don't expect anything out of him in the future. And don't get me wrong, I think the guy is going to play again. And now we know he got popped with this 8-game suspension, and it could end up being more, but right now, it looks like it's 8 games for Antonio Brown. And the two teams that you keep on hearing about are Baltimore and Seattle. You've seen him work out with Lamar Jackson. You've also seen him work out with Russell Wilson. And if I had to make a prediction now, I don't think I'm going out on a limb here, is yes, I do think Antonio Brown plays this year, and I think it's going to be with either the Baltimore Ravens or the Seattle Seahawks. Could another team get into the mix? When they continue to do their homework, sure, another team could get into the mix. But you keep on seeing Baltimore be asked about him and then Seattle be asked about him too. We already played you before the Baltimore response, and we know Lamar Jackson has advocated for him. Let's hear from Pete Carroll, who yesterday was asked directly about Antonio Brown and the possibility of him joining the Seattle Seahawks. Here's the audio.
John is competing at every turn, and there's never been a process, unless we just missed it, that we weren't involved with to understand what the chances were helping our club. And he's all over it. He knows what's going on right now and as much as you can. And it remains a, you know, it's a very complex situation, and we just need to see where it fits somewhere down the road. Not, you know, and that's all I got for you.
So he didn't deny it. They're going to be investigating everything. They're going to be looking to overturn every stone that could be thrown their way. There's no doubt about it. Seattle is in a win-now mode. The last 2 years, it was hairy. The last 2 years, we didn't know what to expect after all the names that they moved on from with Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman and Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill. With all the names that either had to retire or they cut, there was a lot of pieces that left there. And the last 2 years, back-to-back years in the postseason, and if they could fix that defense, they made that big move, trading 2 first-round picks to land the services of Jamal Adams, that's a team that could get to a Super Bowl this year. And offensively, you've had 2 running backs come off injuries in Carson and Rashad Penny. You bring in Carlos Hyde. Offensive line, you still got to see where they're at. But this offense, if their running backs are healthy with the quarterback that they have and the 2 receivers that have been special for them in Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, and it wouldn't surprise me if Philip Dorsett catches some passes for them too this upcoming season, that's a team that is a perfect fit for Antonio Brown. Where you look at Antonio Brown, and for a team like Seattle, it's low risk, high reward. Because if he does not work out and if you have to move on from him, you still have a team that went to the postseason last year. And I thought the same thing for New England, that it was low risk, high reward. It probably ended up turning New England's season upside down that Antonio Brown couldn't last with them for basically more than a week. Because those weapons got totally thrown out of New England last year, where Edelman was playing on one leg. The offensive line was banged up throughout the season. They trade for Sanu, and he gets hurt. Losing Antonio Brown last year for New England was a big loss. But for Seattle, if it doesn't work, Lockett and Metcalf have been good players in this league. Metcalf, who fell to the second round, which I still don't get, put up almost 1,000 yards in year number one, and there's so much room to grow. Tyler Lockett may be one of the more underrated wide receivers in this league with what he's been able to do the last two seasons, catching 57 balls in 2018 for 965 yards, and last year goes for 82 and over 1,000 yards. If you put Antonio Brown in there, and Antonio Brown is actually motivated to show that he has something to prove here, and you can still never trust him, and you line up with Brown, Lockett, and Metcalf, yeah, have fun stopping that. Your defense just has to be okay, and that's a team that could definitely get to the Super Bowl. So we'll see what happens with Antonio Brown. Once again, I think he's going to either be on the Ravens or the Seahawks this upcoming season. And I did see that Dana White was with Barstool Sports yesterday, and he was talking about Conor McGregor, who is just like Antonio Brown, retire, unretire, retire, unretire. You go through this dance over and over and over again on the merry-go-round. Dana White said, though, quote, he doesn't have a fight this year when talking about McGregor. And he won't have a fight this year. Conor McGregor will not fight in 2020. I guarantee he will not fight in 2020, in close quotes. McGregor's another one where that is someone that I truly don't care if he never fights again. Now, AB, at least there's some intrigue to see him play on the football field again. It's tough to expect anything from him. McGregor, this guy, with what he's pulled, and now he used to be so beloved, and now he's so obnoxious with throwing the dolly at that bus in 2018 and 2019, punching an older man in the face for not taking a shot of his own whiskey. He's so obnoxious. And I'm not saying Antonio Brown is someone that you can tolerate. He's probably even more obnoxious than Conor McGregor, but I like the NFL a lot more than I like the UFC. I'm a casual UFC fan. For the NFL, it would be compelling to see AB get back on the field, but I'm not going to expect it for it to have a happy ending and a successful finish. No. For both of those guys, they were once at the top of their sport, and now with everything that goes on away from the octagon, away from the field, or just the way they conduct themselves, you kind of go, all right, they're in the news, you got to talk about them. Can you expect anything great moving forward? No, because they have a tough time keeping their head, attached to their shoulders. So that's a big-time problem, McGregor and AB. But we'll keep on talking about them. They'll keep on being in the news. We know that. We'll chat about one of AB's former quarterbacks next. Multiple championships? What?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.